in and out and back home and back in bed for a couple more hours.
Let us know what's going on. Over to you, Steve.
Well, Charlie, I was telling Rocky that if it turns out that his Antron is bad somehow, I'm going to just give him mine. And since he has two of them already, he probably doesn't need the radials. So you could take my radials.
Okay, that would be nice. Give me a minute. I'm going to try to catch 1010 Winds traffic, see if they say anything about it, so I can turn around now rather than later. Just give me a couple of minutes. I'll be back. N1MUQ.
Steve, that was a pretty big spread on that IMAX 2000 for frequencies, wasn't it? Or whatever you want to call it, if you're using it at ham for frequencies. That was a pretty big spread.
Can you tell me what it was again? I missed the second part.
Yes, it's saying in this one advertisement on eBay, the IMAX 2000, say it's CB base, you know, CB ham base antenna, covers from 25.6 to 29.9.
Well, 12 meters is actually in the 24 point whatever range. Like my portion of 12 meters is 24.930 to 24.990, if you're a general. So that's, I mean, it's a nice little dip there, I guess, if you want to operate out of band, but it wouldn't really help me. I'm sure it probably tunes up just like the Antron does.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I wasn't talking about the operating out of band. I'm just saying that if the Antron tunes, like you said, I could imagine what a tuner this thing would go down there, too, because it does have the rings on it, so I imagine it's very versatile.
Yeah, well, illustrating it's so close to 12 meters that you probably could tune it with a good tuner or almost any tuner. So, just like I do with this. So look at our, I mean, I'm getting 14, you know, I'm operating like 14, 300, say. 14.300 all the way up to the end of, to 2900, you know. 29.990, whatever it is, 10 meters ends at.
Check this out anywhere else, but this antenna gets to be a lot more expensive than the Antron once you add the ground radio kit to it. One guy on eBay's got it with the ground radio kit, but it's like $1.75.
I do. I bought mine used. Mine's probably easily at least, I'm going to say, I must have had it 5 or 6 years at least.
I'm N1MUQ. Let me see if I have it. Okay. Yeah, I checked the traffic. It's not too bad. A lot of construction, but inbound is having the problem. I'm going outbound right now, so I should be fine. I'm guessing, Rocky, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your antenna. Mine was laying on the ground for probably 2 or 3 years through snowstorms, rainstorms. I lifted it up, cleaned it off, plugged it in, it works fine. I'm thinking your problem is just the coax.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing too, Charles, because, you know, that antenna's been up there not as long as the one on Debbie's house, and at her house I've got absolutely no problem with SWR. Even though that coax is old, you know, it's not a bad SWR at all. I'm going to research some coax, and I got to get up there and get that. First thing I want to do is get the cable off the antenna and inspect it. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to replace it, but I just like to see if it had damage to it.
How long of a run do you think it is?
I'd say at least 75 feet, Charlie. I got to come down from the back of the garage. I'm going to take Debbie's digital camera home this weekend and shoot you some pictures of where it is. It's going to get hard to get back there with all the stuff she's got there, but I got to come down off the side of the garage. I got to go in through a window that goes into the garage, across there, and then into where I got the basement apartment. I say it's at least 75 feet.
An attached garage or a detached garage?
It's an attached garage. It's just lower. When you see the pictures, you'll see what I'm talking about.
All right, yeah, take a picture of where the coax goes into the window in your apartment so I can kind of get an idea. But I think an NFED antenna will be great for you. And with that built-in tuner, you should be able to do at least 40 through 6, and that'll be plenty.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because I'm not going to, if I get the Antron working right, I don't want to take it down. If I can add another antenna there without him saying anything like that, because it's not gaudy or anything, I want to do that.
Yeah, then you'll have, like, the best of both worlds like I do. I switch between vertical and horizontal on 10 meters all the time. You know, some stations, if you don't hear them real well vertical, you switch to the horizontal and you hear them better, and vice versa. So it's nice to be able to go vertical or horizontal. So it's good to have two different antennas for 10 meters. Some people, the guys that run the eCarsnet on 40 meters, they have a 40-meter ground plane, you know, wire ground plane, vertical ground plane antenna. And they'll switch back and forth between a horizontal antenna and the vertical when they're talking to mobile stations, because all mobile stations are vertical. And it always helps them out, hear the guy better. So it's nice to have that option.
82BOR. I used to do that in my 11 meters days, Charlie. I had my Starduster up on the roof, and on the lower part of the roof I had a four-element beam mounted horizontally on a rotor.
Yeah, it's always good to have both polarizations. Even on 2 meters, I've got both polarizations.
Hey, very good. Over to you, Steve. KD2BOR.
AB2TIA. I did it too when I had the Windham up. Sometimes you would hear, it'd be like a 2S unit difference between the Antron and the Windham, one way or the other sometimes, you know. Other times you could barely hear it, be nothing on, like, say, the vertical, and I'd switch over to the Windham, and, you know, the guy would be like a 5-5. So it really is something to all that. And, you know, some guys it didn't seem to matter. You just seemed to have a good copy on them no matter what.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed is sometimes you go to the vertical and the signals may be similar, but the noise disappears.
Well, on 10, I always have kind of a lot of noise. I think it's from the power lines.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Could be your location. Might not be the electrical lines. It might be something else close by.
The guy who I was talking to one day says, grab a hammer and go out there and hit the street light.
Well, I would definitely take notice of the street lights. If you see any of them flickering, that could be causing problems. You just call up the electric company, or I don't know who it is you call, and tell them that you've got a light that's causing problems. Tell them you're licensed ham and it's giving you problems in the house.
Steve, if you do that, I know over here in New Jersey, whenever we call public service with a light out on a pole or anything, the first thing they ask you for is the pole number.
Digging through a crate full of wires, coax, jumpers, everything in here. And I found one that's a... One side's a BNC, and the other end is a 259. It's freaking, I'm like, where did this even come from?
Let me see if Carlos is around. because I've forgotten Carlos's call. It's been a week. I haven't used it. I forgot. Carlos, you know who you are. Are you on frequency? N1MUQ.
KD2DKO.
There we go. Brought it back. KD2DKO. Very good. Good morning, Carlos. Carlos, what's the deal with the battery?
I didn't hear him, Charlie. That was me giving you his call sign.
Oh. Okay. I thought that was him answering.
He sent me one also. He sent it to both of us, just like that. Pretty cool.
I couldn't imagine. I saw the package, and I saw his name on it, and I was thinking, what the hell could this be? And yeah, I've got it all charged up. It's on the radio. It looks real nice.
Yeah, he told me, he goes, it makes it look a little more professional. it brings it up to standard size. It's not so tiny. It doesn't look like a toy now. But that was really cool of him to do. And it was fully charged. He charged him. So I was really grateful. Very grateful. It's a very cool thing to do. Charlie, this is kind of a newbie question, but maybe you know the answer. I have a meter here, and it's from 1.7 to 150 megahertz, 100 watts. And the field strength antenna is permanently attached to it, right? And it's broken off. But the rest of the meter is in fine shape. Does that affect the readings on the meter if you're not doing field strength?
Oh, you mean it's a dual-purpose meter? It does field strength and SWR?
Well, the SWR runs through the two connections, and the field strength antenna is on the outside. So, I don't think it would affect anything. It's not using that to receive a signal when you check an SWR, right?
That's correct. Stand by 1 second. I'm going to go through another bad spot. Do you have a dummy load?
No, it's one of the things I always wanted to get. I wanted to get a good dummy load, but I want one with a meter on it. You know, they always say, oh, it'll handle 100 watts, it'll handle 300 watts. And then when you read the details, it'll say, oh, for 3 seconds or 2 seconds, and then you risk damaging your equipment. So I always wanted to get a good one, but I want a meter on it. The other thing I wanted, too, was an artificial ground. I always wanted to try one of those.
Yeah, okay, yeah, let me know how one of those works out. the dummy loads, they're available. What you should look for is with the one that I have. Maybe if I remember, I'll try to bring it. We can check out that meter. It's the old Heathkit Cantenna. They seem to work pretty good, and they can handle a lot of power for a while. But you don't have a lot. 100 watts, any dummy load should handle 100 watts. You know, if you're running full legal limit, then I would say, invest in a really expensive one. But, at 100 watts, you don't have to worry about it.
BY2ZOZ just purchased one of those artificial ground units. He'll probably be able to tell you how it works, Steve.
Oh, thank you, Rock. Good man.
Yeah, he's on vacation this week. I was supposed to meet up with him, but it turned out I took my vacation, too. I did that at the last minute. I kind of did that also for you, Steve, because when I told my wife I was taking the week off, I said she wanted me to. I didn't want to, although I did need the time for all the work I've been doing. But I said, listen, I'll take the week off. It's just that I want to be able to go to Steve's house and help him with his antenna on Saturday. She goes, no problem. You take the week off, you can do that. So I said,
going to try to talk you into bringing some of those Thuman hot dogs. Now I'd be too ashamed to ask.
I can probably grab a bundle since I'm going there.
That was a nice hot dog. They were crisp, very well-made hot dog. I really liked them. So I was thinking, that's what I told you. I said the stores around here, the meat and stuff, is not going to be Thuman's quality. So you're going to end up with like Oscar Mayer hot dogs or Ballpark Franks or something.
Yeah, I'll grab a package when I get there today.
I feel like I'm doing a commercial, but it was true. They were really good hot dogs.
I can't remember which ones I gave you.
It was a plain hot dog, nothing fancy. That's what I like.
Well, that's how hot dogs are. They're pretty much plain. Different lengths, whether it's pork and beef or just all beef. I'm gonna get a small bundle of the pork and beef. Those are the ones that work out real well on the grill.
Good. I'm going to grow out. Grow out. I've done all the growing out I care to do. Gotta get rid of this belly. I don't know what I'm saying. I feel like I'm drunk tonight. I really do. I don't know what the hell. I'm just babbling like an idiot. I'm gonna get some steaks. I think I'm probably going to marinate them overnight in something. And maybe some sausage, stuff like that. Something to grill easy. Some potato salad and stuff. So I'm not sure who's all coming, though. I don't know if Joe's coming. Tony said he's definitely coming. And John's definitely coming. So, you and me. And I don't know. I asked Jim. He didn't answer me. I mean, he lives the next town over. He could be here in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it would be nice if Jim showed up just to meet him. But that should be more than enough guys. If Tony comes, me, John, and you, that should be more than enough guys to get that thing up. I'm hoping it goes up real quick and easy. You got coax for it, and a long enough run of coax.
Got me digging through this crate. I'm trying to find the best length of coax I have, and I wanted to test it on the meter before we install it and put it up. So in the past I've just kind of winged it, so I said that we're going to do this right. That's one of the problems with Rocky, that his antenna is so inaccessible. He could have just unscrewed the coax and tested the two ends, and that would give him his answer right away.
Well, that would tell him if there's a short in the coax. It won't tell him if there's water in there. Best way to do that is put it on a meter, you know, like a analyzer that I have. Hook one end up to a dummy load that you know is 50 ohms. Put the other end to the meter, and then go through the bands one at a time. And as long as you're getting low SWR, flat SWR, the coax is good. If you start getting screwed up SWRs, you know your dummy load's good, so you know you got a problem with the coax. That's the best way to test it. The way you're talking about is just continuity, just to make sure that, nothing's broken inside, whether it's the shield or the center conductor.
Thuman needs a jingle because I got the Armor Hot Dog song in my head now.
Yeah, I don't know if we have a jingle or not. I don't think so. We had a couple of hot dog commercials that they called Thuman's Hot Doggin', and they had a little bit of a jingle to it, but nobody was ever very fond of it. We had one jobber and one MUQ mobile that drove around, and on the back of his truck he had a slogan. It says, Thuman's, you can't beat my meat.
Oh man, it's a good thing I just put my drink down. I'd have a big cleanup here.
Guy must be a two-pump chump. Hey, Donnie, how's it going?
Not too bad. I'm just doing a little reading here. And when are you going to come in and I can give you the J-pole?
Yeah, I know. I was just talking about that. I ended up taking an emergency week's vacation the same week as yours. So we'll have to figure out another time to get it.
Alrighty, I go back Tuesday, maybe Monday or whenever, and I have a box of magazines that I'd like you to bring over to Rocky when you go over there. I think you're going to be going soon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Monday sounds good. Do me a favor, when you get a chance, email me your exact address, and we can always meet on 5-2 when I get close, but I'll put it into my GPS, and that'll help me get there.
Oh, I thought we'd meet at the wagon wheel again.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. You know what, you're going to have to refresh my memory on the wagon wheel as well. What town is that in?
It's in Bergenfield, right along the railroad tracks.
Yeah, okay, I may have that in my GPS. I'll have to check. But I'll look it up on the internet and find their address. Okay, that'll be cool. Wagon wheel, I guess around, let me see. I get out of work at 12:50, around 1 o'clock. Is that good?
Sure, that'll be fine. And last time I had the little VX3 with the short antenna. This time I'm going to use the 17-inch Comet rubber duck, WA2ZOZ.
Okay, very good. Geez, I'm really bummed. I wanted to take my car to work today so I could fill it up with gas, but my son used it last night, went to his friend's house to sleep over. So I took my wife's car, and gas is $3.19. Holy cow, it really came down.
Yeah, I think yesterday I saw for $3.17 in Bergenfield at a Delta station.
Yeah, I'm really excited about getting that J-pole. I want to pull it up into a tree, see how it works.
Well, it's just sitting here on the side of my armoir. Boy, this room of mine, it's everywhere you look, there's either D-104s or test equipment or power supplies or something.
D-104s, how many you got?
Just one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have to get one of those eventually. I had a few of them. I had a couple of them with the nice fancy heads. Used them on my 520 and 530, and I always got really, really good audio reports from everybody. But they, of course, have been sold as along with the 520s and the 530s. And I miss those radios. Anyway, just pulling up to work. Let me do what I got to do and get the heck out of here. I'll give you guys a call in a little while. Steve, I don't know if you'll be around or Don. I know Rocky will still be around. But let me just do what I got to do over here. KB2TIA, WA2ZOZ, KD2BOR, and 1MUQ. I'll be back.
Temporary 73, KB2TIA. Over to you, Don.
Okay, very good, Steve. The Thumann's hot dogs, they're really good. They're excellent. I like the ones that come in the red package. They have one type in the blue package. They're a little bit thicker than they have the one in the red package. And man, my stomach's growling just thinking of them right now. I guess over to you, Rocky.
82 VOR. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Not too bad. I didn't get much done today. And, let's see, I guess tomorrow, or today, I'm going to tune up the CB antenna for my daughter. And, put on some power poles on some of my equipment.
Very good. Steve was mentioning something about an artificial ground unit. I was telling him that you're going to be getting one, so you can, you know, tell him how it is.
I'm looking at it right now. And hopefully in a couple of weeks I'll be using it.
Very good. Don't forget to fill Steve in on it, because I think he wants to know about it, too.
All right. It's the MFJ. I believe it's the 931. MFJ 931. Even has the meter in it.
Very good. All right. I'm going to take a break for the porcelain. I'll be back. KD2BOR. Over to you, Steve.
82 BOR, KB2 TIA. Thank you, Rock. I always wanted to get an artificial ground for quite a while. Several times my shack has been on like a second floor, and even once it was on the third floor, and you can never get like a really decent ground. And they always say a bad ground is better than no ground, and so I'd hook it up to a radiator or something. Right now, it's actually, my ground in the shack is hooked up to a heating pipe. You know, I have a hot water heat, so, it's clamped onto there with a grounding clamp. And I have two or three things going to that clamp. So, but I always wanted to get the artificial ground and see how it worked. You know, I'm not sure, does that need a counterpoise of some kind?
The one I have, yes, they recommend a quarter wavelength, I guess, in what frequency you're going to be using a counterpoise, at least a quarter wavelength long, and you can hide it under a rug or under a bed or something.
Okay, very good. You have to let me know how it works out for you, and whether or not you like it, if you think it's warranted in a station, you know. And, I like that it has the meter on it. I would definitely want to get one that has the meter. Even like with the dummy loads, I would want a dummy load that has a meter.
Yes, the meters are excellent. The meter in this this artificial ground here, what you do is you have a control to go to different sections of a coil, and then there's a knob. Let's see, I know there's a knob for the a capacitor for the counterpoise. So what you're actually doing is changing the length of the counterpoise, and the more current you get through the counterpoise, the meter on the upper left front panel, it deflects positive. So what you do is you keep adjusting three controls, and as soon as you have positive current, that's when you know your counterpoise is all tuned up.
Very, very good. Learn something new every day. I've just always, it was recommended to me years ago. My shack was on the second floor, and I had nowhere to ground it. I was renting an apartment, and it really wasn't situated very well. Antenna-wise, for a while, I had a little, it's not even a balcony, it was like the, like a shed roof, outside the window, and it was slanted even, and I was using a disc cone antenna resting on that roof, you know, and the radio had no ground really. So it was, you know, it was recommended to me to use one. And so, but I never got around to it in my ham career.
Okay, very good. Also, with a good counterpoise and a good virtual ground or artificial ground, if you're using like a long wire antenna like I'm going to have, you could easily generate harmonics, and it can cause a lot of RFI and harmonics, TVI, whatever. And, well, I guess ideally I should get a cheap little filter, I guess low-pass filter, and that should take care of it. All I have to do is get one TVI complaint around here, and, well, I guess at first they won't know where it's coming from. And, see, I'm going to have the antenna. It's going to be a long wire, and it's going to be about the size of thin fishing twine, or fishing line, rather. So, I guess most people would have trouble spotting it.
Okay, very good. Did you go anywhere with your vacation? Take any trip?
Nah, just went to the barber shop. Got a haircut.
Just found another meter I forgot I had. 1.0 gigahertz.
We have that interference again from the 910 repeater. A meter for 1-something megahertz?
1.8 to 30 megahertz, that's what it says. It's got two settings, 30 and 300 watts. It's an older meter, MFJ.
Okay, so it's just the power meter, or is it an SWRN power meter?
SWRN power. I'm trying to see it. There's not even a number on it. I know I bought this a while ago on eBay, but I forgot I even owned this thing. Didn't use it. And then on the bottom, it's engraved Boeing Bears number 109. Somebody actually engraved the bottom of it. So I assume it was used by Boeing.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I have an older one also, I guess about 4 or 5 years old. WA2ZOZ4ID. It's an MFJ, I believe it's 209. Has a little oscillator in it, multiband oscillator. And it has an analog meter right in the center of the thing. And there's no digital display or anything. In fact, the tuner for the multiband oscillator, that's written in white letters in, I guess, silk screen.
You know, somebody should invent a little handy, I don't even know what you could describe it, but I have all these little rubber duckies and antennas of various lengths from different HTs and stuff over the years, and some of them I remember and some of them I don't. So they should have like a tube tester type device where you could just, clip the antenna onto the BNC or whatever connector it uses, and it tells you what frequency it is.
Yeah, I have a recent purchase, my Comet CAA 500, which I can do just that. And, I'm still paying for it, but I had to have one. Always wanted one, so I got one. And I can put adapters on this thing. I even have an N connector for above 450 megahertz. There's an N unit on top of the thing. And I have an adapter to go from N to SO239.
Maybe I'll mail these things off to you, Don, and you could throw them on there and test them. It's crazy. Oh, this one's got some damage to it.
I'm sure within a year or two we'll have an eyeball somewhere, and I'll bring the meter. Let's see if Rocky's back yet.
B2BOR, yeah, we're here just listening to you guys, doing a few things in between. Don't really have much to add right now, so conversation's pretty good.
Okay, I have to QSY to the porcelain, and I'll be back in a few minutes, WA2ZOZ.
And 1MUQ Mobile.
Hey, go ahead, Charlie.
Go ahead, Charlie.
All right, very good. Got my check. I got the dogs, and I also brought a smoked kibasa. I'm taking it, Steve, you like kibasi?
No, funny enough. My wife is Polish, and it's not something I really look for, you know. I don't know. It's good, but it's nothing I go out of my way to get. But I love those dogs.
Well, when you have this on the... I like getting it and putting it on the grill. I mean, I love kibasi, and I'm not Polish. But I love it when it's on the grill. You brown it. It's already cooked, of course. You just brown it a little bit on the grill on both sides and then slice it. It's out of this world. You believe me, you'll love it when you taste it. I've also got one of our famous Fuman's mustard, the horseradish mustard. If you have a sinus condition, this will clear it out real good.
Brother makes the kibasi with he puts sauerkraut and beer, and he cooks it on the grill like that.
Yeah, I've had it with the sauerkraut as well. Yeah, it's real good, and we make a really good kibasi. And it's got a nice smoke flavor to it. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
I just found yet another soldering gun. Like they grow on trees around here.
Hey, did Tony get the rubber duck?
Yes, he did. So it's pretty cool, man. There's been a lot of exchanging stuff around here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting Tony. Sounds like a nice guy. Well, give me another minute. I don't need much gas in my wife's car, but I'm going to fill it up anyway. I can't pass up this price. I can't believe how low it is. I hope it stays that way until I go to work on Monday. Actually, I'm going to have to get gas before that to get to your house. I don't suppose it's cheap over by you.
Anywhere from, let's say, 349-ish, 339-ish to flirting with $4.
Yeah, 339 is not bad. It's 389 by me in Connecticut. All right, give me a minute. I'm here. Let me grab some gas. And when I'm your cue.
KB2 TIA.
And when I'm UQ Mobile.
KB2 TIA.
How far do you think you are from John's house?
Not even 20 minutes.
Do you know how to get there?
Well, he's never been here. He may know, you know, general avenues and stuff that run through here. But I don't know, I don't remember what exit he is. I think he's 31 or 32, something like that. I wish he was on tonight. He said he was going to be on. If you get on the LIE by his job and you continue going east, like if you were passing his job, you come to exit 38. You make a right, and that puts you on Northern State. Within like two or three exits, and they're short exits, not too, you know, far apart. I'll find out the number of what that exit is, but it dumps you onto the Wantagh Parkway South, and you take that to either Hempstead Turnpike or the Southern State, and then you're in the local streets to my house.
The address on QRZ, is that up to date? I'll put that in my GPS.
Yes. When I went to John's house and I didn't know where I was going, it took me like 20 minutes.
All right, cool. All right, very, very good. Yeah, I don't have any plans that day. And my wife knows it's, you know, we're going later. And she knows I'm going to be home Sunday, so I'm not going to be in too much of a rush. I'm not planning to, but get the antenna up, have a couple of dogs, maybe a beer, and then I'll be on my way. Because I have to drop John off, too, as well.
Well, I told Johnny if you have to go for any reason, that I could always drop him off home. And even Tony, you know, Fresh Meadows is that far out of the way from John's house. From what I gather, Tony must only live like not even 10 minutes away from John.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be great. Then I could just head right home instead of having to make a detour. I don't mind bringing him in, but I'd like to get home as quickly as possible and enjoy, you know, what's left of Saturday, and then do our thing on Sunday, church, and whatever else is going to go on. That's cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting this thing up. Hopefully we'll be able to talk on one of those bands.
The little backyard DX, put up a canopy and a table, and you could just work some backyard DX, test it out. I'm glad you'll be hanging around for a while, because every time we met, it's always been like 2 or 3 minutes and you're rushing off. So it'll be cool once not to have such strict time limits.
Yeah, I know. It's the lifestyle I lead. And I also enjoy being around my wife. A lot of guys like to get away from the little lady. I tried talking her into coming to work with me this morning, but she's got to go to work today, believe it or not. She's been on vacation this week, but because they had so many days off because of storms and snow, they took a day away from her week's vacation in April. So she's got to go back to work tomorrow today for one day, which kind of stinks. I feel bad for her, cut her vacation short. So she really wanted to just sleep as late as she could.
I don't know if anybody came back. I don't want to hog it. My wife took off tomorrow, so we could actually have some time together. Saturday she had plans to, she's going to Woodridge, New Jersey, I believe it is. Her cousin lives out there and they haven't seen each other. And they're more like sisters than cousins. They grew up together and very, very close. And so she's taking the kids out there regardless. So I was like, oh, that's great. You know, frees up the house on Saturday to, you know, do what we have to do. And no kids underfoot.
Oh, very good, very good. Yeah, you know, I love kids just like the next guy does. But when you're doing stuff like that, like we're going to do, it's better not to have them around.
No, every time I try to work on something, even to tighten clamps or move an antenna or something, you know, they're running around out in the street, and I got to come down off the ladder, see what they're doing. You know, when I say the street, you know, I mean the sidewalk. But, you know, I keep an eye on them. You know, they're never really out of my sight. So, and then otherwise they'll be hanging on the ladder or they're playing with the tools. And I'm like, you know, they can't help it. You know, they're 7 and 4. So they want to be involved in everything. And sometimes it's just inopportune, you know, and they can get hurt. So I'm glad, you know, she's going elsewhere with them.
Yeah, yeah, been there, done that. Yeah, when they're that age, you know, they want to help. Can I help, Daddy? Can I help? They want to help with everything, no matter how dangerous it is. Can I help? Then when they're old enough to help, they don't want to help. I busted my butt this week in the yard, and my son never once came out and offered to help. And I don't force him into helping because then he's no fun. He works like, you know, he works like he's got a ball and chain around his legs, his ankles. So I figured if he offers, I'll take the help. If he doesn't offer, screw it. I'll do it myself. Keeps me in shape.
Got a card in the mail today. Italy. IT9BUN. I kind of remember talking to this guy. He's in Sicily. But I don't remember if I sent him a card and he's returning one, or do I have to send him a card? So I'm going to end up mailing him another card anyway.
I didn't write on there, please, QSY or something, or QSL, I mean. I wanted to ask you, how do I sign up for the Bureau? I worked this one girl in France, and she only accepts QSLs through the Bureau.
Yeah, I don't know which one you'll be. You're probably the same one as me in New Jersey. I think they do the tri-state area. I can find that out for you. I just need a little time. I'm not on computer or anything right now. Still have the shack a bit of a mess here. Digging through had a milk crate full of wires, connectors, antennas, some HTs and stuff like that. So I'm trying to sort through all this, and of course everything's tangled up. So found my I think this is the programming cable for the Elenco. I haven't seen this in a while, and so I keep finding stuff here. But when I get the chance, I'll see. They probably do Connecticut also.
I'm not crazy about signing up with them because I know you got to send them a bunch of I think self-addressed envelopes, and then I guess who the hell, I don't even know how the hell it works. Do I have to send them my QSL card for her in an envelope addressed to her with a stamp on it? I don't know how that works.
No, that does that is the league now. I don't think any of them really do that anymore. You don't have to send them envelopes. They just, if you have PayPal, you get on, you send them money, it goes on your account. It takes them at least, they say at least 30 days to create your account and add the money on. And then it could take them up to another 3 months to send the card. So that's why the Bureau really sucks. But if you pay online, there's like a minimum charge. Like you buy credits. So I say you send them $12. That might be, whatever, 30 credits. And so like say they throw four or five cards in an envelope for you, that might be one credit or two credits. And then when you run out of credits, you have to re-add the funds. But they don't do that stuff anymore with self-addressed envelopes and things like that.
Okay, did you ever get those cards that they told you they had that you had to pay for some more credits?
No, they told me, oh, we're extending you, whatever it was, two credits or something like that, and they sent me four cards in the envelope, and they said that I had, they said, you have multiple cards remaining with us or something like that, and they gave me a deadline of when to pay by, or they were going to destroy them, and I was like, yeah, it was like, you know, it's like extortion, but, so anyway, I sent them the $12 or whatever it is. I paid online. Because if you pay online, there's a minimum charge. If you mail them payment, then I think you can pay less. And so I have no idea what happened with it. And they tell you on the website, don't bother us with asking us to send you cards. When we get to it, we'll get to it. You know, there's so many requests. And there's like only a handful of people doing it.
And when I'm your Kim Mobile, yeah, that's why I'm not too crazy about joining the Bureau. I might just email this girl and ask her if I could send her, you know, like $2 or $3 cash and a direct QSL card. I'd really like to get one from her. I don't think I have anything from France. Plus, she was a YL, so that's always nice. Kind of cute, too, but I also worked a special event station in Algiers. Algeria, I guess it is. That's the northern part of Africa. It was like their 50th anniversary of their club. So I really want to get a QSL card from them. I got to catch up on some of these that I worked and send them out.
I think I worked that same club. Did it have like a 77? It was like 77. I can't think of the call sign offhand. Alpha 77, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, it sounds a little familiar. Yeah, I'll know. I'll let you know Saturday. I still have to write out their QSL card. I wrote all the information down. Just never had a chance with everything going on at the house to write them out a card.
Don't they still have international reply coupons from the post office?
I don't know, I just bring the envelope there, and I tell them this is going to whatever, you know, European country, and they put a special European stamp on it. I think it's usually a dollar or something like that. It's a round stamp.
Okay, when I used to work a hell of a lot of DX, and I really wanted the card, especially when I worked Antarctica, I worked a Russian military base in Antarctica, and I wanted that card so bad I could taste it. So I went to the post office, I sent him my card, and I sent him return postage in the form of an IRC, an International Reply Coupon.
I think Steve knows something about that. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm chomping at the bit here. when I went to the post office, it created the biggest chaotic little thing, commotion. But I asked them about IRCs, and they had no idea what I'm talking about, and they're pulling out manuals, and they're consulting other people, and nobody knew what I was talking about. And then somebody came out from the back and knew what it was, and they said, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any right now, but, you know, and she showed me a picture of it in a catalog, oh, this is what it is and everything. But now a lot of places have phased it out, you know, and there's something, there's problems with people getting, whether it's an old IRC or a new one, and also some of them have to be validated to be used in that country. There's a lot of problems with those things.
If I really want to, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the guys you work, if you look them up, they'll say if they direct QSL, and usually you got to send them, what do they call it, green stamps or cash. I just send them cash. Usually, it used to be $2. Some of the guys asked for $3. You know, I'm not a big DXer. You know, I don't collect that many QSLs, so I don't mind sending $3 here and there just to get a QSL card I really want. And that's pretty much the way I do it.
Charlie, you're going to need some, let me see if I have it. You're going to need some coax with that J-Pole. Let me know. I have a few lengths of 58U with connectors on it.
Okay, I'll let you know. Probably not. I think I'm going to take down my 220 ladder line J-Pole that I bought. I might put that up somewhere else, or I'll just I'll hook my 220 rig into the CX333. But I'm going to probably take that down and pull this, because that's up nice and high, and pull this J-Pole up in its place, see how well that does from that height. I have a feeling that'll outperform most of my antennas, and that's what I'm hoping on.
WA2ZOZ. If you did need a jumper, how long would you need it about? It's going to be 58U cable.
Let me think. I don't know. 50 feet at the most, 35, somewhere around there, 40 feet.
Oh, okay. I have that all made up for you already.
All right, I'm going to bring your mic, too, by the way. I want to give that back to you before I end up losing it.
Okay. Hell, I got to pay you something for putting the new cord on it.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I want to pay you for the J-Pole. I just want to make sure it's going to work for me, and then we'll agree on a price for the J-Pole.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, if it works out, yeah, we'll work something out.
Man, it's real, real foggy up here on the Palisades.
Yeah, I'm glad that Yonkers repeater isn't giving us too much trouble. I think I heard it about twice within the past 2 hours.
Well, which one is that?
That's the 910.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, Rocky and I were trying that one out the other day. It's kind of weird. I get it full scale, but nobody hears me on it.
Yeah, Rocky and I were experimenting with it. We had the same kind of problems. I don't know, maybe there's some kind of audio cancellation or something, some phasing or whatever. But he was transmitting a 9-1 on 955, and I heard him plain as day on the 910.
Really? That's weird. I guess because it's so close, but that is odd. I've never listened on 910, so I don't know. I don't know if people are hearing me as well. I know there's, when I was listening on 910, I was hearing a lot of heterodyne. It could have been somebody on 955.
Yes, most definitely could have been.